Still, when he had come back 4 years ago, he brought memories of my mother with him, and it had been hard to look at him. They told me about the movie script, that it would be a commemoration to my mother's life. Even then, I wanted to say no. They said I was giving them permission to shoot the movie on my lands, but my mother was in the room that day. I felt her. I felt how much she wanted this movie done, so I signed. I had regretted it ever since, until this moment. I didn't like having strangers around. They upset the horses, too. Everyone was on edge. But he came, and I talked to him at the river, and I hadn't been able to stop wondering about him. I wondered what his full name was, where he came from, what his parents were like. Why did he become an actor? Did he know horses? They shot a scene where he had to ride one, and he seemed a natural at it. He held the reins like it was second nature to him. There was so much I wanted to know. And then things changed at the house. All the strangers went away again. I saw them leave in the cars, but I watched his cabin that night. He remained. So did my siblings. They were the only four there until the rest came back the next morning. That was the routine. They came at odd hours, sometimes leaving during the day and returning at night. They weren't sleeping at the main house anymore. Matthew must have had them stay at a hotel in the city, but why? That started a week ago, and every night I wanted to go and ask why. I wanted to find out so many answers, more answers than I ever cared to wonder before. I didn't, though. I always stood at the end of the last fence. It was as if the wild was behind me, the domestic was before me. If I went in there, I couldn't be myself. There were expectations, a role, an obligation. Matthew likes those types of relationships. He was the older brother. He embraced that role and thought it was his job to care for all of us, to overlook, to watch, and he would try to fix things for us. I could tell he was the same, and Finn and Abby, they had the same spark from when we were kids. Finn always felt he had to prove himself to his father, to Matthew. Abby was the peacemaker. If there was a fight, she smoothed it out. Half the time, I was waiting to see if they would muster the courage to look for me, instead of expecting me to go to them because that was what they felt. I could feel it from them. It came to me in waves. I was supposed to go to them. I was supposed to find them. But there would be more. I would have to fit into some role that each had for me. It was how they were before. That hadn't left them. I didn't feel that with Brody. He wanted my body, I knew that. I felt that. I wanted his too. It was more than that, though. Expectations. It was the invisible weight crushing them and myself, and they didn't realize it was what kept me away. Shiloh wanted me to love her, but she didn't expect that of me. Same thing with Shoal. A twig cracked behind me. I didn't look, but I knew it was Shiloh moving alongside of me. As the cameras rolled beneath us on the hill and the lady yelled, "Action!" I reached up, grabbed a fistful of Shiloh's mane and lifted myself up to her. She was turning before I sat and we left again. My back to their world.
Chapter 15. Brody. The floor creaked. I was in the dark, a bottle of bourbon half-drank on the floor beside me, and I was staring out toward the field. I was on the second-floor patio, the door open behind me. A nice breeze came off the mountain, but it was just me. All me. And Kyle's ghost. He was never far away. But the floor creaked, and I knew it was her. I felt her in my blood, in the way my skin washed in goosebumps and chills. The recognition slammed full force into me at the same time the need for her rose, threatening to overtake me. When she stepped out through the open door, I didn't dare move. I feared she'd run like the last time. It had been 2 weeks since I saw her at the river, and as she stood beside me, looking out over the field with me, she was every bit the ghost she'd been that night. She murmured softly, "Everyone left," before turning to look at me as I took a seat in the chair to her left. Why? Your brother was worried someone would see you. Her forehead wrinkled, just a small line. Someone did. You. I laughed, a small one. Someone who wouldn't keep quiet.
Oh.
She bit her lip, moving to the chair beside mine. She folded down, her petite body so strong but so small and graceful.
He cares for me.
I barked out a laugh. It's more than that, Princess. I felt her surprise as she looked at me. Her eyes were wide, startled, then a slow smile spread over her face.
That name reminds me of one of the horses.
Great. I gave her the same nickname as a real-life feral horse. Awesome. Anytime. Another peal of laughter came from her. It was genuine, and I smiled along with her. I would give her all the cheesy-ass nicknames she wanted, if this was the reaction I got. When she started to fade, I asked, "Why'd you come see me?" A person with an agenda could have feigned being hurt, saying that maybe I didn't want them to come. I'd have to go on the defensive and tell her I wanted her here, or even use it as a come-on. Kara, who most certainly had an agenda, would have somehow used the question as an excuse to crawl onto my lap. Though, I wouldn't mind if Morgan crawled onto my lap.
Because I'm curious about you.
There was no game between us, no hidden manipulation. She was being real, and goddamn, my dick bulged inside my pants. I had to dig my nails into the chair. I needed to calm it down, otherwise I'd jump her bones. I coughed, getting some restraint in there. What are you curious about?
You?
She shifted on her seat, pulling her feet underneath her. She was facing me, leaning on the one side of her chair. Rapt curiosity was etched on her face.
What's your full name?
No thought. I answered immediately. Brody Josh Asher. Not Joshua, just Josh.
Are you named after anyone?
My mom had a thing for a soap actor named Josh.
A soap?
I grinned. That was goddamn cute. Not something to clean yourself. It's a type of show on television.
Ah, I had a nanny who watched one, I think.
Her eyebrows pulled together again. I was having a hard time not reaching over and smoothing out the small wrinkles. She added,
there was a lot of sex.
An awkward laugh from me. Let's not talk about sex. Her eyes were on me again. They were full. They were unblinking. There was something there I didn't want to identify. If I did, I would be in her within a minute. I wanted this time with her. It was real. It was the type of shit I didn't want with anyone else. Ask me another question.
Do you want to have sex with me?
A mangled cry ripped from my throat. I'm finding the more time I spend with you, the less control I have.
So you do want to have sex with me?
I saw the knowing look on her face and bit back a groan. You goddamn know I do. I fixed her with a hard look, letting her know that she may be able to see me, but I could see her too. You want me as well. There was no hiding, only the continued spread of that smile. Yep, tonight was going to be one of the most torturous nights I'd ever experienced. I already knew I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Yes.
She sat up, her feet tucked directly beneath her. I nodded at her. I have a feeling you could hang upside down from the post.
I live mostly in the woods. You develop the ability to climb trees and rocks if you want to survive.
Horses, too. She nodded solemnly.
Horses, too.
They climb trees? She chuckled.
No, but they can climb rocks if they have to. They can also run down cliff edges.
I've seen Snowy River. I suppressed a shudder at the idea of her riding a horse down one of those edges. It looked damned scary.
Snowy River?
It's a movie.
I've not seen it.
Do you watch television?
I have in the past, when I went to school.
I shot up in my seat. You went to school? She laughed, settling into her seat again. Her feet slowly unwound from beneath her until she looked as if she was almost lounging back.
I had to. I live with horses for a choice, but I'm not a moron. I couldn't give anyone a reason to say I couldn't be with him. Getting a high school degree and... She leaned forward again, a teasing glimmer in her eyes. A college degree made it so I could do what I wanted.
You went to high school and college?
She snorted, motioning in the direction where the main lodge was. No way. I did the homeschooling thing, and I did the online thing for college. Peter made sure there was staff here to take care of me.
I was surprised and impressed all at the same time. Did you like Peter?
She opened her mouth, but nothing came out. She ended with a shrug before adding, She loved him. That was all that mattered.
I fell silent, digesting.
I was learning so much and not enough.
I'm playing him in the movie, but I've never met him. My manager reached out to see if I could meet him for research purposes. He said I could ask his children for any insight needed. I remembered when she read the words to me from her phone, reciting them word for word.
He sounds like a peach of a guy.
She laughed a little.
That seems like him.
When did he stop sending people here for you?
She mulled it over. Her mouth puckered up again. When I turned 18, he came to tell me everything was legally in my name now. A lawyer came the next day to tell me about my inheritance, and the staff was all gone that same day.
I shot forward. Wait, these are your lands?
She nodded.
Shit. A nice piece of information I was pretty sure Shanna didn't know about.
Matthew drove out the next week. He took me to the bank and got me set up so I could get money when I needed it. He helped set up other things.
You don't drive?
She shook her head. None of the staff offered to teach me, and I didn't care. Shoal could take me anywhere I needed to go.
Do you want to learn?
Are you going to teach me?
I nodded. I would if you wanted me to.
Her mouth opened. She was thinking about it. Then she shrugged again. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, think on it. I reached down for the bourbon and took a large swig. God, I needed that burn. Her eyes were on the bottle as I held it.
You're still drinking.
I listened for the judgment. There was none. I relaxed a little, nodding.
It helps. With what?
The air shifted between us. It grew more intimate. It had been playful, light, before. She was getting into a second layer of shit. I motioned around the patio, still holding the bourbon.
Ever been haunted? Because I have.
I am.
You aren't the only ghost here. I'm not a ghost.
That's yet to be proven. I grinned at her, but I felt Kyle. He was sitting with us. He was either laughing at how much of a dumbass I was being, or he was flipping me off. I added, he visits me often.
She leaned forward, reaching for the bourbon. When I relinquished it, she took it and leaned back in her seat. Does he get stronger when you drink, or does he fade?
She took a sip. She swallowed it slowly before handing the bottle back, and I hadn't wanted her as much as I did in that moment. I'd have to readjust in a minute because my hard-on was becoming too uncomfortable. But until then, I took the bottle, as well as a second shot. I placed it on the floor between us. I thought back to her question.
He gets stronger, but I can sleep. I can't sleep unless I drink. I don't want to take fucking pills. They mess up my head. If it's going to be messed up more than it is, I want it to be from booze. At least then I can have some fun while I'm at it.
I flashed her a grin.
I waited. Normal girls would try to be cute. Smart girls would try to say something witty. She only reached for the bourbon and took a long swallow. She hissed, this time, setting it back down between us.
She coughed, rasping out,
They tried to make me take pills, too.
What? I remembered.
Oh. Yeah.
Her chin dipped to her chest, and she pulled her legs up so she could hug her knees to herself.
I was young when my mom died. I had to take the pills, but I got off them. I slipped some to Finn. He liked pills back then.
You saw them after she died?
She looked down and was silent for a beat. Matthew brought them out a few times.
But it wasn't enough. They'd basically left her.
My hands went back to digging into the goddamn chair. I wanted to throw the fucking thing at Kellerman, but this time wasn't about the piece of shit. I could hear Kyle telling me to calm down, so I took his advice. I had to. I couldn't scare her away. That was the last thing I wanted. Forcing myself to chill the fuck out, I asked, "Have you talked to your siblings since we've all been here?" She was chewing on her bottom lip again. Between the need to pound Kellerman's face in and the way she was kneading that lip of hers, my dick was raging. I couldn't remember when I had this big of a hard-on. Holy fuck, I tried telling him it wasn't the hottest thing he'd ever seen. I wasn't being convincing. "I've talked to Matthew, but not Finn or Abby."
"Would you like to talk to them?"
Her teeth stopped nibbling. She smoothed her hands down her legs instead. "I always liked Finn. He made me laugh. He scared me a bit because he could be reckless, but he was funny."
I raised an eyebrow. "That preppy-looking prick was funny?"
"Really?" She nodded. "Abby was, too. Both of them would dare each other to do pranks. I remember one time when Matthew had a date. He'd just turned 16, and he was so proud of his car. He was taking out Molly Connors. Finn dared Abby to smear peanut butter all over the back seat. Matthew didn't notice when he left, and then it got dark. I guess he found out later when they went back there." She started laughing, her shoulders shaking. "He came home with peanut butter all over him. He blamed Finn the whole time, and I guess it was kind of his fault, but no one told him it had really been Abby."
Abby.
The girl who looked like a strong wind could blow her over. She rarely spoke and stuck close to her two brothers' sides whenever she was around. She had that kind of pranking streak in her. I grunted, picking up the bourbon again. "No offense, but your siblings have changed, for the worse." She sobered. A beat later, she said softly, "Karen died. They moved away. Life changes people. They forget."
"Life hardened people." She didn't say it, but I heard it. I looked at her again like I was seeing her anew. "That's why you stay out there." Her eyes widened. She looked stricken. "You don't want to forget your mother." One beat. We stared at each other, both knowing that I crossed the line. I should take back my words, but I couldn't. She was going to bolt. I didn't have time. We moved at the same time. I knew she was going to run, and I went for the patio door. I meant to block her, to apologize. She didn't go back for the door. She launched herself over the patio. "Morgan!" My heart stopped, literally. It was a 10-foot drop. The world paused in that second, and then I was at the edge. I wasn't ready to see her body there, but my God, if I hadn't known I cared for her, I would have then. Fear, like I'd only experienced one other time, crashed through me. "Not again. Please, not again." But she wasn't down there. I searched the ground. There was no sign of her. Shit, shit, shit. "Morgan." Where was she? I scanned the grounds, and then I saw her. She was jogging down the field, and already knowing what I'd see, I spotted her horse at the end of the fence. She was waiting for Morgan as if the girl had called for a car or something. A raw laugh ripped from me, and I fell back into my chair. My heart was racing. My body heat was a bonfire, and I'd never been so relieved before. I was happy, but I fucked up, and I wasn't so upset about that either, because I had my answer. I had suspected before, but I had as much pull on her as she had on me. Whatever we were locked in, we were both in it. She'd be back.
Chapter 16. Brody. 30 minutes later, I'd finished the last of the bourbon and was heading to bed when a tentative knock had my dick hard again. Instead of heading to my bedroom, I kept straight and swung open the door. "You actually know how to knock?" My words died in my throat. I wasn't staring at Morgan. I was staring at her stepsister. "Oh." My hand let go of the door and I stepped back. Abigail Kellerman, whom I met briefly my first night there, was standing on the porch, not a single brother in sight. I chuckled to myself, pointing to the door.
"Is that weird for you?"
"What?"
"Having to knock on your own door.
This is technically your place, not mine.
What?
Nothing. She wasn't in my headspace. I waved a hand inside. Come on in. I held up the empty bottle. I've had a few, so fair warning. I didn't mean to, but I knew I was giving her the rakish grin I reserved to turn a woman on. The bourbon was messing with me, making me go into work mode. I didn't want to do that, not with her at least. I shook my head, trying to clear the act. I was about to shut the door, but paused. You're not here to sleep with me, are you? Her eyes threatened to bulge out, and her neck reddening as she patted her hair in a nervous habit.
What? No. Oh my gosh. No.
She stopped patting her hair, and her head bent forward, her eyebrows pinching hard together.
Though I suppose that does happen to you.
We were in the clear. I shut the door. I motioned to the living room. Did you want a seat, or... She walked to the patio, and a whole new understanding filled me. I almost felt bad for her. I moved to the doorway and studied her as she focused on the chair Morgan had been using 30 minutes ago. I said, You heard us?
I wanted to come before, but I was so scared of scaring her away. I heard her laugh.
Abigail laughed under her breath as she went to the chair. Her hand rested on the back of it. She sounded in awe.
It's been so long since I heard that from her.
Feeling 20 shades of awkward, I coughed. Do you want something to drink?
No.
She turned those big eyes on me.
Can you tell me about her?
What?
Yeah.
She sank onto Morgan's chair, folding her hands in her lap. She was almost posing there, just on the edge of the seat.
Matthew's talked to her, but he doesn't freely talk about her.
I don't know.
I can't get a good sense of how she is from him, but he told me that she talks to you. Could you?
She waved for me to sit again in my old chair.
Please.
Do it, asshole. She's a sis yearning for her other sis. It's the least you could do. I could literally hear Kyle grumbling inside, taking a seat. I almost wanted another bottle of bourbon for this, but no. If it had been Kyle, if it had been me, I would have wanted to know too. I raked a hand over my face. What do you want to know?
Is she happy?
I nodded. I knew that right away. She seems to be. A tear formed in her eye, but she ignored it and scooted even closer to the edge of her seat. I eyed her feet, making sure they were planted in place so she wouldn't slip off and onto the ground. A second question.
Is she healthy?
Her skin glowed. Her hair was shiny. Her eyes were mischievous. She lit up when she had a grin on her face. I nodded again. She looks good. Healthy.
She's eating enough?
She was petite, but strong. She could move like a panther. She doesn't seem to be hurting for food. She isn't weak or frail looking. She let out a shuddering breath, nodding as she finally reached to brush the tear away.
What did you guys talk about?
Ah, an awkward laugh escaped as I shifted. Well, I don't know, just bullshit, I guess. She asked about me, about my life. I told her a little bit. Her eyebrows pulled together again, the ends of her mouth dipped down.
What else?
She told me you smeared peanut butter on Matthew's back seat for one of his dates. Her eyes widened again.
She told you that?
And that Finn took the fall for you.
Oh my.
Her mouth stayed open. Both her hands lifted to cover it and she bent forward, resting her forehead on her knees. I sat up, cringed, and reached toward her, not really knowing what to do, but then I heard the soft laughter. My shoulders slumped and I let my hand drop. Her laughter grew, soft at first, until her shoulders were shaking and her laugh was echoing over the field. She sat straight, her face beat red with tears all over. Wiping at her face, still laughing, she began hiccuping.
I can't believe...
Hiccup. She remembered... Another hiccup. She groaned, taking a breath. She was silent, still holding her breath. When she exhaled, she leaned back in her seat and let her head rest against the cushion.
Sorry.
A lopsided grin flashed for a moment. A few more soft chuckles had her shaking her head again.
I can't believe she remembered and that she told you. That was so long ago.
Her eyes lit up again. I knew exactly why she began crying again. I thought of Kyle. I thought of the laughs we had, the stupid adventures, and I would have been crying alongside her if I didn't have a whole bottle of bourbon in me. It was helping to numb the pain.
She was so quiet when we moved in.
Abigail wasn't stopping the tears anymore. She let them slide freely as she looked out over the field.
We all doted on her. I did her hair. She begged me to show her how to do makeup. Finn brought her along every time we did those stupid pranks. She was his apprentice. That was what he called her. He was going to teach her how to take care of herself, and in his mind, that meant learning all the best ways to trick someone. Then there was Matthew and her. She worshipped him, and he always protected her, and then when Karen died...
Her mouth closed tightly, and her throat trembled. Fresh tears slid down her cheeks.
Morgan was supposed to come with us. She was a part of our family. I expected her to be brought to my school, but it never happened. I never thought...
She chewed on the corner of her lip, sounding anguished.
We lost Karen and Morgan that day. We came to visit a few times after, but it was never the same.
I tried to imagine life from her perspective. Matthew said he was 16 when Karen died. That would have put the twins around 14. She would have been in junior high. I had no clue what happened to their first mother, but she would have been grieving. I heard the love there. She'd been happy when they were here with Morgan and her mother, but I thought about afterward. The new mother was killed. All decisions should have been pointed toward protecting the youngest. The most vulnerable was always protected. That would have been Morgan. That didn't happen. I heard Morgan's explanation, but Abigail was talking as if it were out of her hands. As if she didn't know why Morgan didn't come to her, as if it hadn't occurred to her to make the suggestion in the first place. Anger rose, and I bit down on it, shoving it back. Morgan was scared to move on, and these assholes were letting her stay scared.
What?
I looked at her. She was watching me, her tears almost all wiped away. What? She said.
You made a sound. Are you?
Her eyes narrowed.
Are you upset with me?
Anger flashed back at me, and I saw how she sat up, how she straightened her shoulders, how her little chin lifted in defiance. There was the adventurous girl Morgan mentioned. I gestured to her. You should be this girl more often.
Excuse me?
Her head reared back a little. You walk around like a beat dog with your tail between your legs. The asshole in me broke the surface. If I was starting, I had to stick with my motto, go big or go home. She sucked in her breath. I didn't want to hear her false indignation. I rolled my eyes and said, your whole family drives me fucking crazy. You're all moaning about each other, but she's here. I shoved to my feet and pointed to the field. You want her? Go get her. And if you can't find her, turn it around so she has to find you. Get lost. Get into a situation where she has to talk to you. Good grief. And your brother? He looks at her like he wants to control her, and Morgan knows it.
What? Kyle, where are you?
$1 million, that's probably why she's staying the fuck away. If I were a girl, I'd do the same. I don't know what your issue is, but if you guys want her, go and goddamn get her. She's here. She's within reach. She's alive. She's breathing. She's still going to be here tomorrow. Don't waste your time.
I'm in your car.
I was breathing hard. I was sweating now. Brody, I'm damn proud of you. The patio was spinning. I was losing balance. I heard screeching sounds, then metal crunching. Are you close? I was falling. I felt myself going down. I can't wait to get there.
Kyle,
I whispered, my voice heavy and distorted. I heard screaming in the background, but I couldn't pinpoint where it came from, who it was. That damn dial tone. Something crashed, and then the world went black. Chapter 17. Brody. A headache greeted me when I woke, but it wasn't the one in my skull.
I opened an eye, saw Gail, and immediately wished I could go back to sleep. I didn't need to ask. Everything came rushing in. Talking to Morgan, drinking, watching Morgan running away, more drinking, then Abigail. The drinks hitting me. I groaned. Am I fired? Gail looked up, folding the newspaper and tucking it back down into her purse. No, but from what Shan says, you should be.
Shan.
You're on nickname basis?
My manager grunted, a cocky grin teasing her lips.
Brody, it's my job to be on nickname basis with almost everyone I meet, and to answer your question, you aren't. Abby said she wasn't there on movie business.
Another nickname. I didn't ask this time.
I waited to hear whatever lecture Gail had in store, but nothing came. Looking at her, seeing her deadpanned expression, it clicked. No, I didn't sleep with her.
Are you sure?
I was in the Twilight Zone.
Good Lord, did she say we did?
No, that's the thing. She's keeping a tight lip on why she was there, but she's only saying it didn't have to do with the movie. Once Shan found out you were fine, she started talking about firing you and backup A-list actors.
I fucked up. Bad.
I squinted, looking around the room.
Where am I?
There were no call lights beeping in the distance, and I wasn't in a hospital nightgown. An IV pole was next to me, and there was a fake plant in the corner, but that was it. The room looked barren.
They moved you into the main house.
But I couldn't remember Matthew's reason for kicking everyone out. Gail's hand pressed down on my arm, reassuring me.
He said the radon test came back fine. They'll move you as soon as you're ready.
Radon? That was the excuse he gave? I sagged back down into my bed. The headache was beginning to pound behind my temples, but I knew Gail would drop the hammer real quick. I wanted to get it over with.
Lay it on me, G. Tell me how I messed up.
That was all she'd been waiting for.
First, she held up a hand, her eyes gleaming, you will goddamn stop drinking. I mean it. I confiscated all of your booze. The crew will be thanking you for their amazing party tonight. Second, you will tell me why Abby Kellerman was in your room. She said you started ranting and raving before you passed out. I know something is going on. You and the Kellermans are the only ones still on the property, and it has nothing to do with some phony radon test. And third, you have to talk to someone about your brother's death. You know it, and I know it. I get it, but enough is enough. He wouldn't want you to tank your fucking career.
My mother just inhabited her body. I sighed, pushing up until I was in a sitting position. Looking down at my chest, I didn't want to ask where all the bruises came from.
Gail saw my look.
They had to cut your shirt off to check you over. You fell hard on the floor, then when they were moving you to the main house, you woke up and started swinging. You were going on about Kyle and Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan? I was pretty sure I hadn't been adding the captain part. Thank God I was a booze hound.
Is Abigail mad?
She frowned.
No, which is the weird thing. She isn't upset at you. She wants to talk to you once you are awake. You ready for that?
I nodded, sighing. Better to get it over with now.
Gail stood, her purse in hand. She paused at the door, glancing back. You can thank me, by the way, for not letting Shanna fire your ass. You passed out, and they called a doctor to come here. She worried about it being leaked to the papers.
But I'm good to go?
She grunted, disapproval lining her frown.
You're good to go. I'll let you yank out your own IV.
I was doing just that after she left, when I sensed someone in the doorway.
You can come in.
If it was Shanna, I wanted to get the ass-chewing done. It was Morgan's sister.
Hey.
I let go of the IV cord, but I couldn't stay in the damn bed. I felt like an invalid. Sitting on the edge, I was glad to see sweatpants, but these weren't the jeans I'd been wearing last night. I was shirtless, and I wished that weren't the case. The bruises were a garish purple and blue.
You can come in and...
I glanced around, but couldn't see a shirt.
I would cover up, but I'm not seeing anything.
She hid a smile, stepping in and shutting the door behind her.
We did call two EMTs that our family knows. They thought it would be funny to change your clothes, hide the shirts.
They're both divorced and big fans of yours.
I grunted out a laugh. So much for Shanna's hope to keep this quiet. Abigail shook her head, suddenly serious again.
They won't say a word, I promise. We've used them a lot over the years, I mean, when we were here before.
A lot? I eyed her, moving to the chair and lowering myself down carefully. She nodded, moving to the other vacant chair in the corner. We were watching each other over the bed.
Finn was always getting hurt. After the first few times, he kind of became friends with them. I think he met them for a beer afterward.
Good to have resources like that.
Yeah.
She looked down to her lap. She was twisting her hands together.
I went to see you last night to ask a favor. When I got there, I just got so curious. She doesn't talk to people, ever. Unless you catch her sneaking through the house, which sounds really ridiculous when you think about it, but...
I cut her off. She had to know first. I'm sorry for going off last night.
Huh?
She lifted her head again.
Oh, no, that was fine. I get it. I really do.
She lifted a shoulder.
It was pretty obvious you were projecting. I know about your brother.
Her eyes grew sad.
Everyone does.
I hope I didn't scare you last night. I'd never, well, you know.
No, I totally know. I don't want you to think I was scared or anything. It was actually kind of heartbreaking. You kept saying Kyle's name, and then you started saying things about Morgan. I hid the bourbon, told everyone you'd been drinking Captain Morgan.
Thanks for that. Fuck's sake. Morgan's sister was covering for me. I was such a fuck-up. You wanted a favor?
Yeah.
She sat at the edge of her seat. Her posture was perfect, and her hands were folded in her lap again.
I know you said last night that I should just go out there, try to find Morgan, or have her find me, but I was wondering.
Some sweat beads formed on her forehead.
Would you take me with you? Matt said you saw her at the river. I was thinking we could go there. That doesn't seem too far away.
I frowned. She was talking as if she didn't know. You guys don't go through the lands? Her head dipped again for a second, and then she looked back up. She shook her head.
No, I know we should, but as we got older, it just started to feel more like Morgan's area. Her horses lived there, and then the whole fear factor kicked in. We could die out there. I don't know how Morgan does it.
Her sister kept on.
If you take me out there, she'll come. I know she will.
Just you and me? She nodded, her chin tightening.
Just us. No Matt, no Finn. I want to see my sister again.
Shit. I was going to do this. I was going to get involved, and hearing Shanna's voice from the hallway, I knew I was stuck anyway. I said, I'll do it if you do me a favor.
What?
My eyes cut to the door. We could both hear Shanna saying, he's awake in there? Someone replied, but the words were muffled. I didn't have long until she barged in, regardless of whatever they were saying out there. Cover for me with Shanna.
I did.
Her attention was skirting from the door to me, the impending arrival of Shanna making her shrink in size.
I told her you weren't to be fired.
No, I know. I shook my head. Shanna wouldn't be able to find another A-list actor for the salary I was getting, not unless they wanted to put off shooting the movie, which would cost even more money. She knew it. I knew it. I wasn't worried about that. She's going to think we're sleeping together. You have to set her straight. She's already watching Kara like a hawk. She doesn't want any bedroom shit to land on the movie set. If she thinks we're sleeping together, she won't be happy about that. At all. The more I talked, the bigger her eyes got. Then the door burst open. Shanna came storming in. Abigail gulped and then jumped up.
We're not sleeping together.
Yep, that wasn't embarrassing. Shanna looked from Abigail to me and then back again. A dry chuckle came out.
Well, too bad for you. I've heard he's amazing.
Not funny, Shanna. She fixed those eagle-like eyes on me. I wasn't trying to be funny, but you were, apparently. Drinking Captain Morgan all night, then going off on your boss. She gestured to Abigail.
What the hell were you thinking?
I sighed, leaning back in my seat. I wasn't.
She was looking me over, lingering on the bruises and then on the IV, which was still in me.
Shit, Brody. What did you do?
Fucked up. Again. Exhaustion hit me. I could feel it in every inch of my body. I'm a mess, Shan. A ghost of a smile graced her face, but she let the nickname go. If Gail had nickname status, then so did I. She jerked her head up and down briskly.
Okay, right. Listen, you are going to a brief stay in a rehab.
What? I started to stand. I talked to Gail about it. She's got your bags packed already. There's a car waiting outside. We're going to shoot as much as we can without you, so some of the schedule is getting shuffled around, but it'll be fine. As long as you come back in top shape and sober, I think we can finish the movie on time.
I'd be gone. Morgan wouldn't know. I shared a pleading look with Abigail. If she was going to step in and save my skin, it was a good time to do it.
I waited. She was quiet. I shot her another meaningful look. Right now, Abigail, cover for me, right now.
Her wide eyes were locked on mine. He doesn't need rehab.
Shanna turned to her, an eyebrow raised.
He doesn't?
No. Abigail swallowed, her face scrunching and then clearing again. Light bulb.
He already told me he wasn't going to drink anymore. I really think he just needs to sleep, rest. You guys have been shooting at all hours of the day. And you know, what better place to detox than here?
She waved a hand around the room.
It's beautiful here. All the scenery. Crisp mountain air. I mean, we have horses, too.
She snapped her fingers.
They use equine therapy for rehab. They used to bring patients here when we had domestic horses. We can use the ones they're using for the movie. How about that? We can bring in a therapist to work with Brody.
Shanna slowly folded her arms over her chest, leveling Abigail with a hard stare.
Why are you so eager to keep him here?
Abigail backed up, shrinking even more under Shanna's scrutiny.
I'm not sleeping with him. I'm really not.
She shot me a look. She was struggling. Good thing I could lie with the best of them. Because I know things about her family. Shanna's expression went from mild amusement to sharp alert.
What do you mean you know things about her family?
I sighed, looking for all the world to be relaxed and unfazed. Things I can't talk about, and that's why Abigail...
Call me Abby.
Abby was in my cabin last night. I've been trying to find out more about Peter Kellerman so I can better identify with him. I uncovered a secret in the process. Abby groaned.
Oh, God.
And don't think you can get it out of me. It's a secret I gave them my word I would keep.
They?
Shit. Slip up. Still, I stayed in my role trying to be nonchalant. Yeah, Matt and Abby... I was dangling a carrot in front of Shanna, one of the best directors I'd ever be able to work with, but there was a reason she was one of the best. She was smart, and she was a bloodhound. If there were something out there, something she should know to make the movie better, she would find it out. I just confirmed to her there was something for her to seek. And she would. She'd be doing all sorts of her own research. Maybe I should have done the rehab stint? No. If I were shipped away for 6 weeks, I didn't know if Morgan would seek me out again. That would mean that Abby would never get the meeting with her sister that she so desperately wanted. I had to stay. It was the only way. I'll meet with a counselor. I'll do the equine therapy, but it has to be here.
No drinking?
I nodded.
No drinking.
You get 8 to 10 hours of rest a night. Another nod. I'll sleep like a baby. You take herb supplements if you need help falling asleep. No pills, no prescriptions.
Yes, all natural, healthy.
She fixed me with another one of those eagle stares. Her eyes narrowed to slits, and I could feel she was assessing my bullshit meter. After a full minute, she sighed.
Fine.
Her arms uncrossed from her chest, falling to her side. I'll have Gail set everything up. We'll be here to shoot in a few days. You can come and watch if you want.
I will.
And I would. Working was not my problem. It was the downtime that was.
Fine.
Fine. Abby clapped her hands together.
Great!
Shanna and I turned to her, neither of us excited. With her cheeks turning red, she exclaimed, I'm excited for the equine therapy. Jennifer's coming soon, too.
She almost bounced from the room, and Shanna turned back to me. She cocked her head to the side.
The same Jennifer that's engaged to Kellerman Jr., Jr.? The same one that I remember you having an affair with?
Oh, fuck. Chapter 18. Brody. I can't believe how you lucked out. I was sorting through the food Gail brought for me before she headed to the hotel for the night. Really, it was nothing more than a stall tactic. Even after she and Shanna had gone through the cabin top to bottom, she was still worried. I wasn't hiding anything. I wasn't an alcoholic, but I got it. I did. I hadn't been acting like a normal person with normal problems for the last 8 months. I patted her arm. I will be fine, I promise. I saw her disbelief. Her lips pressed together. This was a wake-up call. As much as I hated to admit it, it was. It's time to work through some of my grief about Kyle. Her eyes clouded over.
You never talk about him, you know?
I know. When I did, I wanted to hurt something. I wanted to punch holes in walls, demolish hotel rooms, shatter glasses, anything to take it from the inside and put it on the outside.
I didn't know Kyle, but maybe you should reach out to his wife, see your nieces.
The man-eating, metal-chewing manager was gone. The mother she must have been for her kids was talking. I was softening, but I didn't want that. That brought feelings. Morgan. I'd focus on her. I saw her horse beyond the fencing. If that horse was there, so was Morgan. I'll be fine, Gail. I mean it. She quieted, but I still felt her concern. I'll give them a call tonight.
Good.
She perked up.
Good. That's so good.
She grasped my arm with both her hands and squeezed.
I'm happy to hear that.
She was almost shaking me. And I'll be fine. I'm going to go on a run, wear myself out, and then sleep. That's it. No visitors. Technically, I was going to Morgan, or hoping to. No visitors here tonight, I nodded firmly.
I mean it, Brody. I know you said you weren't sleeping with Kellerman, but that would be very, very bad if you got mixed up with her. Her brother's protective.
Didn't I know it? I saw the look Matthew Kellerman gave me during the crew dinner the first night. If he could have speared me with a pitchfork, he would have. Okay. Her phone started buzzing, and she looked to read the text.
That's Shanna. They're waiting for me in a car.
I'll be fine, I promise. She nodded, going to the door before looking back. I held my hands in the air. I'm making you a promise. Once I do that, I always follow through. I will be fine tonight. Her lips twisted into a half grimace. I'm aware you aren't promising other than tonight. I went to the door and held it for her. She paused there, raking her gaze over me again, head to toe. She said curtly, "You still look damn good." I barked out a laugh. Shanna said if the bruises don't heal by the time I start shooting, they'll work it into a scene. She grunted. I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if she's in your bed the minute the last scene is wrapped. That'd be interesting. She'd have a rude awakening. Her phone buzzed again. I said lightly, "Go, Gail. I'm just going for a run tonight, and I'll call my nieces later." Her shoulders relaxed, finally. She began moving down the stairs, waving once over her shoulder once she got to the ground. Shanna was driving and rolled her window down. She pointed at me, her eyebrows fixed fiercely together. "Rest and healing, got it?" I saluted her. She laughed and then flicked me off as she drove away. Once the last of the crew left, I knew I was alone for real. The Kellermans had gone into the city for dinner. Abby had texted me to say they'd be back late and would be returning to the main lodge. Shanna said they weren't moving the crew again. Since the EMTs took me to the house, the whole radon line was done, but she didn't know that. She just said she wasn't flipping the bill to move everyone back. There was enough moving as it was. Things were becoming a new normal, and it was starting with my changing clothes. Sneakers, running shorts,
a shirt that'd keep me warm, and headphones plugged into my phone. I hadn't been lying when I said I was going for a run. I really did intend to start fixing myself, and that meant getting back to my normal training routine. I needed 5 miles today, but I started out slowly, turning onto the walking path I'd explored before. Morgan was out there, somewhere.
Chapter 19. Morgan. I'd been trailing him for 3 miles. He had no idea where he was going. He went to the river, those headphones plugged in. The music was so loud that I could hear it from 50 yards behind him. He was an idiot. He never stopped to mark where he was turning, just blindly moving from one path to another until we were winding through a narrow ravine. There was a trickle of water underneath him, and I eyed the cliff walls on both sides of us. A mountain lion could perch up there and jump down. I had no weapon, just Shiloh's hooves if I called to her. Then again, he would have no idea what was happening until it was too late. I turned and whistled. I heard her coming minutes later, and with him still running ahead, I dropped back until I was trailing by another 30 feet or so. I felt her coming up behind me, her hoofs clopping against the rock beneath us. When she drew next to me, I reached up and jumped, curling so I fit snugly on her in one smooth motion. She was watching Brody ahead of us. The bass was blaring and he was swinging his arms in rhythm. He was jogging, but he looked as if he was almost dancing at the same time. I nudged her with my legs. I wanted her to go forward. She didn't. She swung those dark eyes back to me and I read her message. You want me to follow him? Really? I frowned, nudging forward with my legs again. I nodded. Yes, come on. Her nostrils flared out, but she dropped her head and started forward. This canal edged around a cut in the mountain before joining the river again behind us. Most fish didn't travel this way, but every once in a while you might get lucky with a small one slipping through. As we kept on, Shiloh gave up her search and lifted her head. The trees above us on one side of the ravine caught her eye. Her body tensed, and I knew she wanted to make a run for it, see if she could stand up and catch some of the leaves. There were a few branches hanging low over the side, so when Brody kept going ahead, I let her stop. She reached up but couldn't catch the leaves with her neck stretched out. I knew the next step and I shifted my weight, flattening myself on top of her. She waited until I was anchored to her, my arms and legs completely around her, and then she slowly stood until she was on her back 2 hooves only. She stretched up as far as she could reach and... success. Her giant lips caught one of the branches. Instead of nibbling some of the leaves from it, she snapped the branch off and lowered herself back down. I started laughing. She looked like a giant dog with a stick. Her eyes shifted back to me. Refusing to feel admonished by her, I nudged her forward again. Brody was almost out of eyesight. Her entire body shook once before she began forward. She worked her way around the branch, eating the leaves as she walked, and I laid on her like I did when she would graze. Except I didn't lay on my back. I was on my stomach with my feet resting on her back haunches, and her head propped my head up, my chin resting in my hands. As Brody traveled the length of the ravine, he never looked back. I wanted to yell at him. There were animals around that could kill him. But he only kept going. His breathing started to get winded, so I wondered when he would eventually slow to a walk. Not that I was complaining. His shorts slipped low on his hips. He'd pulled off his shirt, knotting it through a loop on his shorts so it bounced behind him. It was still cold at night, but apparently he couldn't feel it. If he kept this up, he could get sick. But then I watched his back and the slide of his sweat working its way down around his muscles. I chewed on my lip, wanting to be the one to touch his back. It was shaped perfectly. Broad and muscular shoulders, which flexed with every swing of his arms. The skin tightened and slid over them, forming a small ravine of its own that ran down the length of his spine. Every inch of him was strong. Hard, smooth. There were bruises over him, but they only accentuated his muscles, giving him a hard and dangerous look. I never knew the male physique could look like this. He reminded me of the herd's stallion. His own muscles rippled under his coat, and it was the same with Brody. A throbbing started between my legs, and I shifted uncomfortably on Shiloh. This was the longest run I'd seen a person do in my life. He needed to go back to the cabin, shower, and be safe. He shouldn't be out there, and he shouldn't be depending on me to watch over him. I swung my legs beneath me, sitting upright on Shiloh again. That was why he was out here and running like he didn't care. Because he didn't. The asshole knew I'd find him. He was using me and torturing me all at the same time. Shiloh glanced back to me. She sensed my anger and began shifting around on her feet. She knew I wanted to do something. She was waiting for me to decide, and then I did. I kicked my heels into her stomach, and she took off. He must have felt her hooves pounding through the ground before he looked back finally and his eyes bulged out. We were drawing on him and at a fast pace, but right before she would have trampled him, I nudged her and she swung left. He fell off the trail and I jumped off her. I glared at him, standing above him on the trail. He had fallen down a few feet and was already pulling the headphones off. "You're an asshole!" My hands found my hips. That throb only intensified. My lungs felt like they were going to burst.
"Yeah?"
he smirked.
"How so?"
His lips twitched as he stared up at me for a beat before he hopped up so he was standing in front of me. He was close. Very close. I glanced straight ahead. I was on eye level to his chest, which looked just as good as the back of him. All dips and ridges between his muscles. The sweat was there too, making his skin almost glisten. I swallowed tightly, moving back a step. "I don't remember my brothers running without their shirts on." He tipped his head back, a low and smooth laugh coming from him.
"Nah, they wouldn't."
He pulled his shirt free from the loop and wiped it over his forehead before his hands found their way to rest on his hips. He was mirroring my stance, but he suddenly seemed a lot more in control than I was. I didn't understand it, but my breathing was shortening. Tilting his head to the side, still watching me so curiously, he added,
"They'd run on some treadmill at some fancy gym, no doubt."
"People don't run out here for a reason."
"You do."
He raised his chin as if he were taunting me. No. He was challenging me, but I didn't understand why. I pulled at the strap of my tank top. There was a nice breeze, but suddenly I was heated. Too heated. The sun had started to wane. We had another 30 minutes before it would be dark. He really needed to get back by then. "You have to return. You're 6 miles out." His lips parted in surprise.
"Six?"
I nodded. I looked for Shiloh and spotted her grazing farther down the trail. I let out a loud sigh. "You're incredibly stupid."
"Why?"
"I have to walk beside you. I have to make sure you get back okay, and I don't have a horse for you to ride." He looked over to Shiloh, a question in his eyes. "She's not broken. I'm the only rider she allows." My voice was rising. "These are wild horses. This is the wild out here. There are bears. There are mountain lions." I hit him. I didn't care. And once I smacked his chest, I wanted to do it again. "You're so reckless."
"Hey."
His arm snaked around my waist and he pulled me to him. I lifted my hand to hit him again. He caught it, holding it to pull me even tighter against him. I almost moaned aloud. Almost. He was rubbing against me, right where I was throbbing, and I wanted him to keep going. I couldn't help it. The desire had been building since I was following him, and now that we were face to face, I saw the same hunger in his eyes too. I made the first contact, hitting him, and it was all he needed. A spark lit, and he grabbed it, pulling me closer to him. Hell, he felt so good. He wrapped his arm around me, catching my hand in one of his. He traced a finger down the side of my face, softly, tenderly.
"Hey."
He brought it to my chin and tilted my face until I was looking him in the eyes again. Once I did, I saw he had softened. I saw the remorse, but it only worsened my ache for him. I didn't think I could walk beside him for 6 miles.
"I'm sorry."
"What?" He gentled his tone again.
I haven't been training. I forgot how much I like to run. I lost track of time.